Good morning. This message is brought to you by First Baptist Church of Clearfield, located at 111 North 2nd Street. To hear this and other messages, please go to the church website at fbcclearfield.com. Pastor Matt Brown and his congregation invite you to worship the Lord with them Sunday mornings at 10:45. Here's Pastor Matt.
Please turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. One verse this morning. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, continuing our study in the book of 1 Peter. And Peter has been giving lots of commands to different people and their different relationships. And that's kind of the context that we're in. And so if you remember, he talked about citizens and their government, slaves and their masters, wives with their husbands, and now this week, husbands with their wives. So women, I know the last 2 weeks were more geared towards you, and so guess what? Now it's the guy's turn. But also, women, don't close off your ears or your mind, as it's important for you to know what your role of the role of your husband is. I found that a lot of issues in marriage are not only because people misunderstand their own role, but also because they misunderstand the other person's role as well, and so we all can listen up and learn from what God, how God has designed and the roles in marriage. So we're covering just one verse this morning, but it has so much in it. It is just packed with a punch, and the commands in it are extremely hard to do. So that this verse, while it's telling husbands, and it can seem very simple and short, is actually very deep and difficult to do. Now, before I go any further, let me be clear up front that I am not a perfect husband. And so I'm preaching to this to myself as much as I'm preaching it to you. In fact, as I went through this week, it was like I'm convicted. It's like every day as I study, it's like I'm convicted as I fall short of it often. And so my wife can certainly testify to the fact that I do fall short in these areas. And so don't think that as I'm preaching that it's coming from a husband who has it all together, but really it's a sinful husband who's simply proclaiming what God calls each husband to do. So I have entitled my sermon this morning, "Who's This Person in My House?" And have you ever wondered that when you look at your spouse in your house? I think this happens most often when couples first get married. And so you get married and you start living together, and what happens? You start to find out things about your spouse that you never knew before, right? You find those odd quirks and habits that your husband or wife does, and you start to wonder, who is this person that I married? I never knew that about them. You see, what happens is that before you get married, you think you know your future spouse, right? You think, oh man, I know everything about them. And you realize, no, I really didn't. Once you get married, you start to really understand who they are, because you see them on their best days, but you also see them on their worst days. And so you see them on those great, exciting days when they're excited about this event or they got that job, but you also see them on their worst days when they're struggling and they're facing loss or fear or stress or conflict in their life, and you see that. But really, you see their everyday life. And so you start to see these. So you see everyday life. And some things that you find out is you find out that you never knew this before. You find out that they pile their semi-dirty clothes on a chair somewhere, right? Or you're somewhere else. And you're like, I never knew that. Or maybe you find out that they make this weird noise when clearing their throat, or they sneeze very loudly. I don't know, you just find out these things. Or something else that you find out is that your idea of clean is completely different than your spouse's idea of clean, right? And you start to find out these things that you never knew before until now you're living with them all the time. And so you think of the dating period as this time where you're really getting to know your future spouse as you ask questions, and you're really at the dating period, you're really asking questions to get to know who is this that's sitting across from me on this date? But really, every moment along the way in your marriage, you're learning about your spouse. You're learning the answer to the question, who is this across from me at the wedding altar? Who is that across from me at the dinner table? Who's that across from me taking care of our children? Who's that across from me? Who's that next to me brushing their teeth, right? And so marriage is a lifelong process of getting to know your spouse. And what we find this morning is in 1 Peter 3:7 is that a key for a godly husband is knowledge. Let's read our verse. It says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. The first point that comes out in this text is that in order to be a godly husband, you need to know some things about your wife. This is kind of obvious, right? Yet how often do we as husbands fail at this very point? There are some married couples who essentially live as roommates rather than being married. So their marriage certificate may say they're married. They may eat out of the same fridge and sleep in the same room, but they live totally different lives. What can so easily happen is that when they first get married, I mean, they know each other super well early on in marriage, but then life happens, marriage goes on, the kids are now out, and they're looking across the table saying, who's that? Really? Who is that? But what Peter is teaching men is that this should not be the case. Husbands need to know their wife in order to be a godly husband. Now, it's said that men tend to want to fix things. And they want their wife to just tell them how they can fix this issue that they're talking about. Well, husbands, you're in the right spot this morning because Peter tells you how to fix your marriage. He says, get to know your wife. Maybe you're here thinking that's a little general. Can you be more specific? And I'll say, certainly. He shows us that we need to have knowledge about her personally. Peter says, live with your wives in an understanding way. They translate it in understanding way, but it's literally according to knowledge. Live with your wife according to knowledge. This means you need to know her personally in order to live and perform your marriage role well. So do you know your wife? Occasionally you'll hear someone say, no one can understand women. Well, guess what, husbands? You're required to at least know one woman, your wife. Do you know her needs, her likes, her hobbies, her habits, her personality on a deep level? Do you know what annoys her, what makes her happy, what brings her joy? Take some initiative and get to know your wife more. Maybe you could sit down and spend unhurried time with her. Ask her questions. Get to know into the way that she thinks and feels. What are some of her strengths and weaknesses? What are her desires, her dreams, her hobbies, her goals, her perspectives? What's she currently struggling with? What's currently bringing her joy? What makes her happy? Notice things. Remember them. You could even write them down if you have to. Now, something that you could do regularly is at the beginning of the day, ask her, what can I do for you? At the end of the day, say, what were your biggest struggles? What were your biggest joys of today? And really, over time, that would help you get to know your wife more, because now I'm seeing her feelings, her priorities, her needs. Your wife has spiritual, emotional, and physical needs. Do you know them? Now, every wife is different, certainly, but some things that you could know are, do you know things like she just wants you to listen and care rather than trying to fix things or making her feel bad for the way she feels? Do you know that she just wants to be held when she's sad and know that you're there and love her? Some husbands might be thinking, but you don't know my wife. She is so confusing. Well, think of it this way. What do you do when something breaks at your house? You do some research, right? You do some learning. You look up YouTube videos to figure out how to fix it. What do you do when you want to get better at your job? You do some research. You study. You learn. You spend time. You know a lot about hunting and fishing and fixing things or your job. But do you take time to get to know your wife? Do you study and learn? What really makes her tick? How does she feel in this sort of situation? What does she think about when this happens? I even know guys who could tell me their favorite sports player's favorite color, but they couldn't tell me much about their wife. Right? Guys, you need to know about your wife personally, but also you need to know to have some knowledge about her as a woman. If you notice, Peter says that husbands should show honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. So obviously, knowledge of your wife as a woman is important in order to show honor and live with her in this understanding way. And so you must know and remember that she is a woman, and you must know and remember that she is a weaker vessel than you in order to be a godly husband. Now, certainly I know the phrase weaker vessel causes a lot of thoughts, a lot of emotions in people, and so obviously I need to unpack it. And so what does it mean? Well, the word vessel really points to your body. And so women are called the weaker vessel. So what does that imply about men? You are a vessel as well, and you are weak as well. Right? So if she's weaker, what does that imply? You're weak. So we're both weak, and Peter says the woman is the weaker vessel. So he's not saying you're strong, she's weak, haha. No. He's saying you're weak, she's weaker. So you must understand that I am weak, and then she is weaker. Now, I believe this weaker vessel is saying that her body is physically weaker. I understand, you know, first thing that many people think about are the exceptions, right? I can think about that bodybuilding woman, right, who could beat that guy playing video games. Of course, yeah, there are exceptions. But Peter's being very general here. The general truth is men are physically stronger than women. It is an undeniable fact generally. So although the world that tries to push that women can do exactly what men can do physically, it's simply untrue overall. Think about this. There is a reason why 89% of construction workers are men. There's a reason why men make up 91% of the Marine Corps. And this isn't supposed to be derogatory. It's simply a statement of truth. And also, if you think about it, think about Peter's whole argument here. He's not trying to prop men up and push women down. That goes against his whole point. Think about Peter's point. He's talking directly to men, and he's not saying those women are weaker and we are just so strong. No, what's he doing? He's encouraging men to treat their wives with honor, remembering they're weaker. So what he's doing is he's saying it to men to make them more compassionate, not to feel superior. That goes completely opposite to what he's trying to do. He wants men to be more understanding and caring towards their wives after hearing this. And so when you hear this word weaker, it means women ought to be shown more consideration and honor, not less. And yet we often think of it's the opposite. We think, oh man, now men are going to feel superior and they're just going to show less honor to me because they're going to think I'm weaker. Well, no, Peter's saying no. Because you're weaker, show more honor, right? And so be more compassionate, be more caring because of this. And so, men, this should lead you to compassion and consideration, not gloating, not feeling superior. Your wife is not the same as you physically, and so we must remember this as we care for her. And women, don't see this as something less than, but to remind you how special and precious God has made you. I'll give this illustration. Think of two different plates. So I'm thinking about plates that you eat on. So one's a plastic plate. And with a plastic plate, we have kids, and so we have a lot of these plastic plates that they use, whatever. Well, you can kind of drop it and throw it around, and it'll be fine, right? That's kind of like the man's physical body. It's stronger. It's like that. But a woman is more like a fine piece of china, where she may be more fragile. So you can't really drop china and be okay. It means you need to take extra care, extra honor to her. And so you protect and cherish your wife, remembering that she is somewhat weaker than you, but more precious, and you show honor to her. And so this shouldn't lead us to boast, but to guard and protect and cherish and love her even more so because of it. And so you need to understand some of these things about women, but also you need knowledge about her as an heir of God. Notice what Peter says. He says, showing honor, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. This is so important. Men, what Peter is saying is, husbands, your wife is equal to you in God's sight. So yes, you may be different physically, but you are not different spiritually. Your wife, a Christian, is a fellow heir of the grace of life. She is a precious child of God who is equally an heir as you. So that means, men, you are not higher up in the ranks because you're a man in the spiritual ranks. But you're all children of God, all heirs of God, equals in God's sight. So yes, we have different roles, but we're all made in the image of God, and we're all the same in Christ. Galatians 3:28 reminds us this. When it says, there is no male and female for you, all one in Christ Jesus. So men, there is absolutely no room for you to see your wife as lesser in God's eyes. You should always remember this fact. She is my fellow heir. She's a fellow heir of mine. And so that means she's not my servant. She's my fellow heir. She's precious, just like you, but so treat her that way. Now, this is so important, and I believe it's in here for a reason, is because, really, the husband's role is, there's leadership in the role. And so, really, this helps them, men, to not feel like their wife is lesser. It reminds them, no, we are equals in Christ. We are heirs. And so we need to treat them like that. Right? Husbands, do you know your wife? Do you know her personally? Do you know some things, what's different with her as a woman? Do you know her, that she's an heir of God with you? So husbands, you need to be a lifelong student, and your major is your wife. You need to be constantly learning and growing in your knowledge. And it's going to take some thinking and some remembering. It's going to take effort. But it will help you become a better, more godly husband, obey God, and to love your wife better. And so, of course, we talked a lot about knowledge. And knowledge is important, that's what we just talked about. But it's not the full story. It isn't enough. We must actually apply that knowledge to everyday life. So we can't just have it up here, but we have it up here and then apply it in how we treat our wives. Applied knowledge is what is key here. And so that's why the next point, in order to be a godly husband, you need to live in light of that knowledge. And so he brings out some of these things that you need to know, but he also goes further than that. He shows us that we must live with your wives according to knowledge. We need to show honor, knowing that our wife is weaker and fellow heir. We must put this knowledge into practice. It's not just theory. We have to actually apply it to our lives. And so we see Peter, and he tells us this command, and he says, live with her according to that knowledge. And so I already talked about knowing your wife deeper, but now I want to ask, do you live with your wife deeper? According to what you know. So the things that you know, do you live in light of that? So if you know that she gets frustrated with you when you wash the dishes that way, do you adjust and clean them differently? If you know that she desires for you to be more affectionate, are you more affectionate? If you know what makes her happy, do you do those things? You see, this verse was very countercultural for Peter's day, because back then the men would kind of disrespect their wives, see them as property. But the Bible's marriage roles have no place for a man like that. Instead, he's called to live in this understanding way and this showing honor to his wife. And yet, if you think about it, so many people have this misunderstanding of biblical headship in marriage. And they think of it as this authoritarian, my way or the highway type of leadership. But if you look at what Peter is emphasizing, what does this role involve? It involves being a servant. It takes a servant mentality to do these things, because many times we want to do something differently. We would not like to be as gentle. We would not like to be affectionate. We would not like to take time. But our God calls us to live in this understanding way, and that means I'm going to have to sacrifice for my wife. It means I need to put her needs ahead of my own, her wants, her desires ahead of my own. And if you think about it, this isn't giving up leadership. This is leadership that gives. There's a huge difference. This isn't giving up, I'm giving up my leadership by putting her needs ahead of my own. No, this is leadership that gives and serves others. Men, do you live with your wife in this understanding way? Or do you act as though she's just another one of the guys? Or do you treat her as she is, with all of her personality and all of her habits and loves and desires and features? You should get to the point where I know, where you know your wife so well that I know what she's thinking when this happens. I know what she's feeling when this sort of thing happens. And when you get to that point, now you can step up and you can live with her and treat her according to what you know. What about this? Do you expect her to think and act like you do? If you do that, if you're expecting her to think and act like you do, you're living according to the knowledge of yourself, not to the according of knowledge of her. You're expecting her to live the hell way you do. Do you understand that she's weaker than you, and maybe she can't carry that couch like you do? She can't get it in the door, and you need to understand that. You understand that you may be able to handle something and she may not. Well, guess what? There's tons of things that you can't handle, but she can. And so you're compassionate and understanding and treating her in this respectful, honorable way. Do you live with your wife according to what you know about her? You know, some guys, they know the ins and outs of their hobby. They could talk for hours on end about it, but when it comes to their wife, the way that they live with her, they act like they just met her. Where they say, oh, she gets annoyed by that? Like, oh, she just wants me to listen and not fix things? Yeah, you've only been married for 30 years. Know these things. Study, learn. Live with her according to what you know, the knowledge, but also honor her according to that knowledge. So Peter tells husbands to show honor to their wives as a weaker vessel, since they are fellow heirs. And so Peter is pushing men to treat their wives with honor, remembering these things about her. So show her honor, remembering that she is a weaker vessel, so don't put her down, don't think lowly of her, but rather show her more honor. Care for her and protect her and treat her with respect. If you think about it, the things that we find are more precious to us, are more delicate to us, are treated with more honor. So you don't treat your shoes the same way you treat that TV or that car. You treat them differently, right? Because of how you view them. And so remembering your wife's weaker than you, then treat her with respect. That a word, a Greek word translated showing, here in showing honor actually points to the fact that this honor is due her. She deserves honor. Right? This is proper when you give her honor. And so we don't treat our wives badly. We're not harsh with them. We're gentle and we're tender and we're protective and we value her highly and treat her as valuable. We treat her as special and precious. Men, how do you treat your wife? With honor? You know, sometimes husbands can be harsh with their wives, rough with their wives. Sometimes if their wife is sad for a good bit of time, they say, "Why are you still crying?" Oh, we need to be gentle. Speak kindly. Don't speak badly about her to others either. I want to go back to what I was talking about, how marriage roles are so misunderstood by our culture. And they see the man as this kind of tyrant who pushes his wife around. But look at what God is calling husbands to do. He's calling them to show honor to their wives. And this means that if a husband is showing honor to his wife like he should, she isn't going to feel like she's being treated as a lesser. She's going to feel honored. So husbands need to also show honor to their wives, remembering that she's a fellow heir. So remembering that I need to treat her as a spiritual equal. We are both heirs of God. We are both on a standing in Christ, being one. And so I don't put her down, but I remember that she is an heiress of God. Right? You are not higher up in God's eyes, but you're both on equal standing. And so this truth leads us to not put down our wives, but to honor them. So live in light of your knowledge of your wife. Live with her according to what you know of her personally. Show honor to her, remembering that she's a precious woman. She is an heir of God. And all of that is enough to challenge a husband. Your work is cut out for you, right? But it doesn't stop there. Peter goes further. He shows us that in order to not hurt your prayer life, you need to live in that light of that knowledge. He says, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Now it's getting serious, isn't it? It's like, come on, Peter, you really ramped up things here. What's he saying? He's saying, if you neglect to live with your wife in an understanding way or treat her with honor, then your prayers will be hindered. That's a big deal. How you treat your wife affects your prayer life. And as a result, your spiritual life. So these commands by God, they aren't suggestions. They aren't recommendations. These are commands that have consequences when you don't do them. Your treatment of your wife can have an impact on your spiritual effectiveness. You know, some people, they act like the Bible treats women horribly. But if you just look at this verse, what does it show us? It shows us that God calls men to live with their wives in loving, understanding, and honorable ways. He calls wives fellow heirs of men. And he goes even so far to care so much about women that he will hinder a man's prayer life if he treats her badly. Showing that God cares so much about women, he's going to hinder a man's prayer life. And he's essentially showing men, you do not treat my daughter that way. She is my heir and you will not treat her that way. And if you do, there's going to be consequences. That's how much God cares about and cherishes women. He's going to tell men, even though you have a leadership role, you're going to care for her. You're going to show her honor. You're going to live in an understanding way. You're not going to treat her badly. You're not going to speak to her badly. You're not going to abuse your leadership. But you're going to serve her. You're going to lead well and love her well. And so this shows us God cares about his daughters. but it also shows us our relationship with others affects our fellowship with God. So many people think that they can treat other people horribly and then go to God in prayer and say, oh, all's well. No, no, no. You sin against other people, you're sinning against God. Our relationship with others affects our fellowship with God. He cares about how we treat other people. And that's why even in the greatest commandment, love God, love others. They go hand in hand. Men, if you treat your wife badly, your prayers will be blocked and ineffective. And so it's essentially like your wrong treatment of your wife is kind of like blocking your prayers. You know what this means? It means that God is showing husbands that as leaders in their marriages, they have no right to abuse their authority or mistreat their wife. Absolutely none. And there's consequences if you do. God isn't going to bless that. He's not going to bless that when you mistreat your wife. And he's going to go so far as to not answer your prayers to give you a wake-up call. Could it be that you haven't had an answer to a certain prayer because of the way you have been treating your wife? It's as clear as day in this passage. That can happen. Could it be applicable to you? Maybe God is using that as a open up your eyes and help you see that the way you're treating your wife is not pleasing to him. And he's using this for your good, to give you a wake-up call, and for your wife's good, for give you a wake-up call, and to then turn back and repent and realize what you've been doing. Because he wants you to love her and cherish her and protect her and honor her and understand her. Because if you think about it, no man is spiritually effective if his prayer life is ineffective. No man is spiritually effective if his prayer life is ineffective. And so what I want to leave with you today is this. You can be a godly husband by knowing your wife and living in light of that knowledge. So not just knowing information, but actually applying it. Using that information in the way that you treat her. How you live your life, your marriage, is important to God. I love the way the commentator Wayne Grudem put it this way. He said, to take the time to develop and maintain a good marriage is God's will. It is serving God. It is a spiritual activity pleasing in his sight. It's important. So husbands, how are you doing? Have you been sort of in cruise control? Not putting in the effort and time needed to be a godly husband? Or maybe you've been treating your wife badly. Either passively or the other way, aggressively. Let's not try to excuse our actions, right? Let's not try to make excuses. She drives me to do this, or Pastor Matt, you don't know my wife. No, let's get rid of the excuses. Let's throw down our pride and own up to our sins. I want you to only focus on your role right now. So don't think about your wife. Oh, she's not being submissive. She's not doing this. No. Focus on yourself. How have you been treating your wife? Really think about it. In the day-to-day life, how have you been treating her? In an understanding way? With honor? Not so much. First place to start is to seek forgiveness. Turn to God and repent of the way you have failed. And guess what? He will forgive. Right? He is forgiving and loving and gracious, and he will forgive you. But don't stop there. Ask for forgiveness from your wife. Go to her. Own up to your sin. Talk to your wife about the specific ways that you have failed being the right husband. Seek her forgiveness. So seek forgiveness and then seek to grow. Determine in God's strength and wisdom to know your spouse more, but more than that, to live rightly in light of that knowledge. The Lord will help you as you depend on him. That's the key. We don't just do it in our own power. We do it in his power. We go to the Lord, and you could say something like this. Lord, I have failed in so many ways as a husband. I need your help to be what you have called me to be. So help me today to live with my wife in an understanding way and to show her honor. Make a conscious effort to be different, to grow in this area, to treat your wife with love and understanding and care. Step up and be the leader. Take initiative. Don't wait on your wife to change. You do your role. That's what leaders do. They step up and they initiate it without waiting for everyone else to get their act together. You get your act together. Be in the Word. Be in prayer. Rely upon His Spirit. Take time for your wife. You know, I love how God has shown us. If you think about it, God has shown us a perfect example of knowing us and acting in light of that knowledge. God knows us, He created us, and He even went so far as to send His Son to take on flesh. And by doing this, Christ got to know firsthand experience what it was like to be a human in a sin-cursed world. And in light of His knowledge of us, our frame, our sinfulness, He cared for us. He loves us. He died for us. He rose again, conquering death. Listen to Psalm 103, 13 and 14. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God always lives in light of his knowledge of us. He takes us where we're at, and he shows us grace and mercy. In Christ, he treats us as valuable and precious, even though in our sinfulness we do not deserve it. And that's our God. He's all-knowing, He's all-understanding, and He's all-gracious. So men, what do you say? Who's that person in your house? Guess what? She's your wife. And you're called to understand her and to honor her. She's a precious woman, and she's a fellow heir with you of the grace of life. Do you know her? Do you treat her the way that God has called you to? Let's follow God's way. Let's follow what God has called us to do in our role. Let's be loving servant leaders who know and cherish and love our wives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come today and we, especially as men, we're challenged, deeply challenged, as we often fall short of what we just read. And it can be challenging at times. Your word does challenge us as it shows us ways that we can be growing. Let's pray that men here today would seek forgiveness, seek your forgiveness, seek their wives' forgiveness, and seek to grow in this area, but not in their own power, but in your power, relying upon you, because that's who we need. That's what we need, is to rely on you, because you give us the strength. So help us also to remember how Christ served us and loved us and cared for us, and he knows us. And he lives and lays that knowledge of us. And we just thank you so much for what you have done and how you know us and care for us. In Christ's name, amen.